in the Countryside by Marco Lindrus. Elena has a house in the countryside and a stable for four horses. She lives on the ground floor and avoids the attic apartment, where the previous owner's wife is said to have hanged herself in her madness. The house's ghost story is told almost immediately when new guests settle in. The ghost rustles in the corners and hangs in dreams like a wretched bundle, the rope creaking as it sways from the beam. You can't get rid of something like that by scrubbing the floors or airing out the rooms. The only guest who dares to spend the night in the upstairs guest room is Raya, a drunk painter who has been drinking for 3 months straight, and then sought refuge at Elena's to rest, no longer touching the bottle. She sits on the very same chair that the woman, weary of everything, kicked out from under her, painting her next exhibition to completion. There are two horses and two dogs in the house. One of the horses is a nag, forced upon her by a Romani man, reluctant and sickly. The vet reveals that she has a foal inside her. The newcomer does not live long, however, because the older stallion, out of jealousy, kicks its skull open, and it has to be put down before it can even begin its journey as a horse. A large pit is dug at the edge of the field, and the foal is lifted gently by a crane, its legs stiff, into the grave, hollowed out of the frost. Elena places a bouquet of flowers on its belly, and the bulldozer pushes the earth over it. In the countryside, death and life are equally natural, emotionless, and without tears. The following Sunday, another of Elena's dogs dies, an old matted creature whose time had come anyway. It had come along from a divorce as a comfort, but it was like a token of bitter memories. I have been invited to visit, and the backyard sauna has been heated up. Before that, Elena wants to fuck her grief away and demands to be on top of me, to move according to her desire, up and down, eyes closed, wandering in her mind through a forest, as she describes the act. A beautiful woman, whom I love against my will. Elena has a scar on her upper lip that makes kissing difficult because it always leaves an air gap between our lips and no vacuum is formed. The lust seems to escape through that gap. Deep inside her, there is a strange nodule, and whenever my penis reaches it, she yelps like a startled dog. It is not the clitoris, of that I am certain, and I hope it is not a tumor, but an individual freak of nature. The remaining dog, a supple and vicious beast, listens to our fooling around at the door. Its head tilted. It hates me, and, jealous as it is, tries to nip at me from wherever it can the moment Elena's eyes are turned. Raya, too, is apparently listening, stomping upstairs with deliberate loudness. We come as the pathos of lust dissolves into a good mood, and we immediately run naked across the yard to the sauna, where we shamelessly wash each other with lukewarm water. We grow aroused again and try to make love on the sauna benches, but it is too awkward and too much of a strain on my heart. Then we huddle in the steam and talk about everything, the dead foal, the dog, and us. We don't really exist. There is only her and me, killing loneliness, tending to our grief. A house far from everything on a starry winter night. After the sauna, we eat dinner languidly, even though the night is already beginning. Elena is a cook, and a braised Provençal stew has been simmering in the oven. A bottle of Ruffino Chianti found in the cupboard to wash it down is more a happy accident than expertise. Nothing could suit better. Raya joins the feast with streaks of paint on her cheeks, resembling a wild Indian. She is only given iced tea, so she won't relapse. She tells us she painted a lovemaking couple while listening to us. Raya's pictures are colorful and naive. We are naturally afraid that the painting might bear our likeness in positions that do not fit our respectable image, and we demand veto power over its publication. Raya is popular. With a few painting sales, she finances a six-month bender. She travels to Italy with the money and fucks beautiful boys, which is how she describes her travels. The paint-stained woman looks at me like a wolf looks at a sheep and wants to see me naked. Elena slaps Raya with her palm and says, "Cut it out, bitch." The dog appears at the sound of angry voices, deliberately misreads the situation, and tries to bite me. It is banished to the hallway, and I see a spark of revenge planning in its eyes. We eat and laugh ourselves to exhaustion and do not fuck anymore, even though Elena is clutching onto me with lust when we are alone again. She wants it lewdly, the way reserved women sometimes do when drunk. She calls me an ungrateful scoundrel when I say, "I'm too drunk," and quiets down only when I promise not to leave her in peace in the morning. I specify after breakfast, and Elena bites my shoulder hard. Her dental map will surely remain there for a long time. In the morning, however, I wake up to the voices of children and know that Elena's granddaughters have come for a surprise visit to their grandmother's place. I hide in the bedroom for a while, for I am a secret, a boyfriend who doesn't exist. After a moment, I hear the sound of a car leaving, but immediately after, also the girls' voices from the kitchen, and I know they are staying at their grandmother's while the parents have their own errands. I also know that at the first opportunity, as the unofficial man of the house, I must vanish, because this is no game of hide-and-seek for hairy men. The girls' voices fade. They must have gone to the stable to look at the horse. While I was sleeping, lips have been drawn on my chest with lipstick, like a passing grade for the night. The sheets smell of orgasm, and despite my resistance, Elena had managed to awaken my desire, sending herself wandering somewhere again. A forest it was, of that I am certain. I gather my gear and sneak to my car, which is at the edge of the yard, where mushroom pickers often park. It requires no explanation if we are caught on the same property. I drive around, turn off the car radio, and listen to my inner thoughts like a bad recording. There is no destination, and my brain is a mere wide-meshed sieve through which the landscape flows without leaving a trace. I snap out of it when an oncoming truck blares its horns like a ship lost in the fog and whooshes past, its slipstream swaying my comfortably suspensioned wheels. I shrug my shoulders and can no longer find it in me to be startled. My world is a pre-assembled puzzle, and I am actually quite a happy man. Near Elena, there is always two of everything, and it is someone's turn to die.